Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
We're going to do a lot of lateral movement, so it's really important that you get this right.
We're going to make you exercise today, Cam. One jumping jack, two jumping jacks.
Podcasts are all about
back that. Yeah. Up.
Is this your first time, Lucius?
Well, it's my first time with your equipment, yeah.
Pull a little closer to your face.
No, that's what they all say.
You pull it closer to you.
Yeah, there you go.
How close do I need to be?
I mean, that's good. Well, when you can hear yourself nicely, that's when it can hear you.
I can hear myself nicely.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be all right.
So, Lucius, welcome to Mystery Inc., first of all. Now, he probably didn't know that I had already pushed record, but you will learn this about me, that I like to be spontaneous, and I like to push the button when no one pays attention.
Yeah. It doesn't shock me at all that you're up to no good.
You get the best stuff that way.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, we are still in the dungeon that we talked about last time, and this is the creator of the dungeon. But before we talk about that, we have to address the elephant in the room.
Oh, dear God.
Kim.
That's never...
Wow.
You'll find out real quickly that he is not nice to me.
Oh, my.
Surprising to him. So, oh, my God, that scared the shit out of me. Josh just walked in through the doors. All I could hear, so, Lucius.
Shane.
You worked with both Kim and I at some point.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. And we refer to it as hell.
That would have been where we worked.
We don't call it by name. We call it by its proper name, hell. Now, what I liked about hell is that there were a lot of cool people. That was the cool part for me. So I met Lucius's wife, and she was a cool person. Lucius, you're okay. But you're all right. You're all right. No, I'm just kidding. Lucius was really cool. Now, when I first got hired there, Lucius was my trainer. It's true.
And I didn't even know that until the other day.
She didn't even know. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Lucius, what was your first impression of me besides dead sexy?
That was it. It was literally just dead sexy.
Yes.
I was stunned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know what you were thinking. You were thinking, how could God grace someone with this perfect personality and a God-like body?
You're far past what I was capable of thinking at the time. I mean, it was just a blank slate.
And that makes sense of why sometimes
his ego does not need to be any bigger.
I mean, I just stood there just in awe most of the time.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Well, look at that big, tall drink of waters.
Yeah. Now, did you guys ever work together on a team or...
I think you were a supervisor.
I was a supervisor for like the whole call floor at one point.
Yeah.
I don't think we did directly. We were never on a team together.
Yeah. We knew each other I knew who he was, I don't think we ever really worked directly.
Now, so when he was training me, then my next supervisor was his wife. Were you guys married at that time?
Oh my, what year was that?
I don't know. 2012.
We were 13. In a serious committed relationship at the very least. Mm. But I think we got married while we were working.
What year there. Did you get married?
16.
I don't remember. I remember that you guys were together. I don't remember.
Yeah, we were together before she came to work there.
So. Oh, yeah. So yeah. Then a long time. What year did you start?
I'm trying to remember.
I started in 2009.
So I was a year out of high when did school. They open that building? What that it was six?
Yeah, it was. I mean, okay. It was just a few short years before I had gotten there. Because, like, I mean, the people that I was basically supervisors with were the first round of individuals that started there when, like, the floors were still dirt.
Yeah,
like when they had only finished just the portion, just the one building part that they mm-hmm. needed in order to like put people on it while they finished see, making the floors.
I started in November after they opened in September.
Yeah, so you were.
So yeah. I was one of the originals.
I was late to the game.
Yeah,
you were a baby at the time. I mean, that was
so little, so young, so innocent. I didn't know any better. Shouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lucius, do you remember the time? That our good friend Allison, do you remember Allison?
You're going to have to be more specific.
She was real thin, Allison's fit, disgusting.
Not off the top of my
she
head.
She dated, they're oh, now that, married.
That's not going to narrow know. It down.
They both met there. I can't remember his name, so that's like not helping.
Dating pool.
It was.
It was a drama.
Oh my gosh.
Dating pool.
I loved it though, because I was never in the drama.
We used to love my wife. That was the funny part is she used to work on West Coast and I used to work during the day. And there were only really a handful of people that knew that we were together or even married at that point. And one of our favorite things to do was to come home and dish about all the rumors that they were told about me when I went home. My wife would be sitting next to someone and I would like leave for the day and she would wave and they'd be like, hey, do you know that he has a baby with so-and-so? Or did you know that he's sleeping with so-and-so? And like she would come home and just dish about this and I would just crack up. Because one, she knew I didn't have any time for that period.
Right.
And two, like... you know, here's my wife or my, you know, committed relationship sitting there. Yeah. And she would just play completely dumb. Oh, she's like, oh, well, I think he's cute.
Yeah. he seems like a nice guy when you get to know him.
Yeah, that was one of our favorite things.
Now, I remember how many people would get their car repossessed. But one of my favorite memories is another person who worked training me with Lucius here was another guy. And one day, someone mistakenly... people cheat and do whatever. Well, this lady apparently, do you remember this? You remember what story I'm going to tell?
I don't. No?
Okay. So maybe it might be news yet. To him. So anyway, so this lady comes to the parking
lot. I think he makes shit up just to hear yourself talk.
It's easy to do. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I hope you fall down the stairs. I'm not going to your funeral. Ugh. She's disgusting. Anyway.
I love you too.
That's our love language, yeah. Lucius. Mm-hmm. That's how we communicate.
Yeah, hate is a love language.
Yeah.
It's unhealthy or healthy. I don't know. My therapist, I can't decide yet. But anyway, so this lady like comes to the parking lot. And my first question is, we had security with cameras. Why would that lady be able to go to someone's vehicle? And she scratched it like she used her keys. You don't remember this? And
there's so much stuff that went on there.
Yeah, I know you can't keep track.
Like cops, ambulances, random, like, the fights in the parking
Kim
lot.
Kim giving hand jobs in the bathrooms.
That never happened.
It was a paid service.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're not judging
hey,
you, Kim.
If I would have actually made a little bit of money if I'd have done that there.
Yeah, you had to get a bonus somehow.
You go in there with a handful of nickels.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we knew what your name was, Kim. Well, I don't know. Anyway, so this lady came to the parking lot. And wrote like cheater, like keyed it on his car. And, you know, I guess she was just looking for another like blue, red, I don't know what color it was, cobalt. And so she left thinking that was her boyfriend, whatever, who was cheating on her. And the guy that I'm talking about goes out to his car. His wife works there too.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And he goes out to the car and he sees like cheater keyed into the side of his car. And he's like, what the crap? And he goes back in and he's like, did you do that to my car? She's like, no. So the cameras, they could look at the cameras, they figure out, and come to find out, this lady went to go key her boyfriend husband's car and it mistaken. I mean, because how many cobalts back then were there?
Oh, they like, were everywhere.
Yeah. And we, it was a big parking lot.
It was like dust. They were just everywhere.
Now, when I joined Kim's team, they had already added on to the building and they put me in the far corner, all the way in the back.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I always told our supervisors that if you are ever going to fire me, if you dare make me walk all the way to HR and the other side of the building, and then they fire you, and they let you out that door, and you have to walk all the way around the building. I mean, it's like a football field.
I had flashbacks. I had flashbacks the other day at work. There was a guy that was leaving, so he got one of the copy paper boxes to put all of his stuff in, and I was like, oh my God, it's the dreaded white box. Because that's what they did, is put everybody's stuff in a shopping box.
I loved taking advantage of that fact, because when I first left and became a realtor, I would actually send the most obnoxiously large displays to people I knew worked on the opposite side of the building. Because I'm like, I knew every time someone got flowers or a gift or whatever it was, just a big basket, everyone was so freaking nosy. And they would make up stories about who it's going to or what it is. And so I remember sending like just giant unicorn balloons to people who worked in SAC, and it would just have like candy and business cards in it. And it was like, and every time I would send people like, I would send pizzas. They wouldn't have no idea they were coming, and they would just open it up and be a pizza and a dozen business
cards. You asshole, you never sent me a pizza.
Yeah, he never sent me anything either. You didn't
work on the right spot of the building.
Evidently not. Now, I always have told people, if I ever go missing and people are like, oh, the last thing I saw is he got into someone's back of their van, just know that they were offering me free pizza.
I
free
thought
pizza.
It was going to be puppies, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
Puppies? Yeah. I don't want a dog.
He's not a dog person.
You say delicious?
No. I didn't say delicious.
Oh my gosh. You are so naughty.
My favorite thing that ever happened there, and this was after you guys had left, somebody in the parking lot was leaving and they were really pissed. So they I mean, that was 95% of their workforce. Yeah, but
just like, we just call that the end of the work
day. End of the work day. Yeah. But they were really mad and they was, you know, going really quick through the parking lot and they looked down and wasn't paying any attention to where they were at, and they hit one of the cement things that the poles was in.
Oh my God.
That car sat there smashed for about a week before somebody finally come and got it. I don't know
that
who it
would
was.
Be so embarrassing.
They were just embarrassed.
Like, yeah.
They had to have been.
I abandoned my car. I don't work there anymore. That's not my car. I don't know where it came from.
But that was a
like
huge.
When an animal gets embarrassed, like, you know, like a cat that misses a jump or something, they just walk the other direction. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Ever, that's exactly what would have happened. I would have just gotten out. And
there was a lot of stuff that
never
went around.
Never seen
that
car before in my life.
Nope, it was a lot. It was funny though.
Now, no wonder people thought that you were sleeping with all these people. You were probably sending yourself flowers, too. Because they would always enter in HR and run across the room.
I had to make myself more appealing to my wife, so I would send myself gifts that way.
Make her jealous.
I'd be like, look, like, oh look, you got me, but like, look at all these secret admirers that I have.
You had to make sure she knew that there were still other people out there, so she better keep a hold of you.
I think the thing that made it worse is that there were no walls. It was one huge, massive open room. So anytime someone was getting fired, you see that white box, you know, walking them across, walking the green mile. That's what I always thought of whenever I saw it.
I was always waiting for someone to just lose it.
Yes.
Like, and I never got that show.
Now, there were a few instances where some crazy stuff would happen. But one of the things I really love, I always did okay. You know, I never had to worry about this, but if you always had a goal there, and if you didn't hit it enough, you would get fired. And I would say
that's
next
what
to
I
this.
Was working on when I quit.
Kim was always on final written. Always.
That's where most people live.
I was there. I don't know. I don't know how I was there for almost 15 years. No clue whatsoever.
She was there on a final written warning for 15 years.
We all just assumed you were giving sexual favors to someone.
It was. But
one of the things, what was I talking about?
I don't know.
I get sidetracked.
The Green Mile.
Yeah, no, I was after that. It was going to be good too, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'll get back to it.
This is the best podcast.
Sure.
This is where the part where we tell you a bunch of almost really cool stories.
I'm sure to come to me. But when I first went on to Kim's team, you probably aren't aware of this, but you know, you're probably aware of this, that her daughter died from, she talks about it all the time, sad story. Anyway, drunk driver, all this stuff. Well, I didn't know that. You know, when you join a new team, they don't give you an introduction card. Like,
They should have baseball player cards.
They should have.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Everyone you sit down with, you're like, this dude's a crackhead. This woman lives on a final written warning. Yeah. This is Kim. She does blowjobs for nickels.
And her daughter died from alcohol. So just, just don't talk about these things. This woman has herpes. Stay away, all these things. Yeah. But that wasn't the case. And I just happened to join the team around Christmas time, and they were doing one of those Secret Santa things. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anyone. I drew her name, and I thought, dang it. Of all the people on the team, I thought she looked like a bulldog because she always had resting bitch face, real hard. She always looked so angry and so...
Disgusting. I can't help it. I own it.
So I was not happy that I got her. And of course, being a man and you don't know details about some lady, I wasn't sure what to get her.
And Bath and Body Works gift card.
That's what I defaulted with after I learned this next part. So I was like, what could this old, ugly woman want? And I thought, what will make her feel better?
Firebomb his car after this, I'll know why.
If I ever go missing, you know where to look.
In the basement with the rest of my men.
Listen, I don't get paid to look for you.
There you go. There you go. So anyway, so I think, what would this woman want? I'm going to get her a big old thing of alcohol. Because that is what every person, she'll surely have a use for this. She looks like she drinks.
Everyone has to drink to get through the workday.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. So I thought, I'm going to get her the biggest bottle of alcohol and just some little things with it. Well, I come to work and our supervisor looked over at me and she's like, hey, Shane, what did you end up getting Kim? And we're like 30 minutes away from everyone opening their gifts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got her a bunch of alcohol. And my supervisor looked like she was about to have a panic attack. And she goes, please God, tell me you're joking. And you could tell by her tone that she was like, if that's a joke, it's a really bad joke. And I was like,
she's navigating the HR nightmare. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. She's like, she bent it. Because, the supervisors back then, you had those real high desks. So annoying. I don't know how anyone didn't die from falling
off of
them. Yeah. And it hurts my neck looking up. It hurts your neck looking down.
Plenty of injuries.
I have no doubt.
Imagine.
Yeah.
So she steps down. She comes down close to my face and she goes, you do know that her daughter died because of a drunk driver and she doesn't drink. And it wasn't that long ago. And I was like, please, God, tell me you're joking. I mean, it's a bad joke, but please tell me you're joking. She's like, no, I'm not. And I was like, well, I'm going to throw that in the trash. Can I leave for 15 minutes and I'll run over to the mall and I'll go to Bath and Body Works and get her something? Because if she's, because she smelled like an old lady and I was trying to give her a little nice scent, So I run in, run out, come back, and I was like, throw it into a little bag. Thankfully, I didn't get fired that day. Thankfully.
I don't think Kim could have fired you, but everyone else would. No. You probably just would have shamed yourself right out of that.
Well, I probably wouldn't have said anything, but I would have died the whole way home. I would have bawled all the way home. I would have cried.
Yeah. Kim has feelings. That's news to us, isn't it? So
Kim's feelings came out at her new job the other day. It was awful.
These are called emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I take a pill for that.
I don't have that. I don't like to feel things.
No,
I try not pill. To, but
if it comes on, take another pill.
And the funny part of the story is the box that the Bath and Body Works stuff is still on the back of my toilet. That's why I put my toilet paper in.
So she can think about me every time she's taking a crap. Isn't that lovely?
That does sound like a very kind gesture.
It does. Mm. I should put my picture in your bathroom.
Well, even the worst gesture is he bought me, what's that scent, Josh, that we both think smells like old lady that we hate? Japanese cherry blossom. It was Japanese cherry blossom, and we both ate Japanese cherry blossom. I ended up giving it away.
It was like there was a cucumber melon that I remember from Bath and Body Works that like every middle-aged woman growing up had.
Yeah.
Are you calling me middle-aged?
No, now you're just damn old.
No one would call you middle-aged, girl.
I swear, no respect.
Yeah, I get no respect. Why are you getting upset about that?
She lives in upset that land.
Oh, and there was someone else there who constantly smelled like patchouli oil. And now every time I smell, I just get flashbacks of this woman's face.
Ugh. I swear. Oh, I remember the story I was going to tell you. So the white box, see, it comes back to me. I told you it comes back. So people were always on written finals if they couldn't perform well, if they didn't hit their goals often. And this girl who I feel like when I was on the floor always sat next to me. Always anxiety up to 10 every month, and often months she would either not hit or way out of the ballpark.
Was it my wife?
No, it wasn't. No, she was always a supervisor.
Oh, okay.
But this woman would sit next to me, and her anxiety was so high. And this, you know, last month, because the thing that really sucked is although they had these systems, all these things, is if you may not have hit goal by the end of the month, but they have more calculations to add in, so you might know. So like you'd be about a week in, and you're like, either I have a job or I don't. But this woman would always lived in final written. So she literally had a box underneath her desk. And at the end of every month,
I mean,
if she didn't hit the goal, she was like, and they may not calculate it. So I'm high enough. So she start packing all her stuff. And she had all these like picture frames and and she just pack it all up and like lay it in the boxes on top of her desk. Cause she's like, well, I don't want to like get fired and then have to load all this stuff up and break something. But she was, at the end of every month, she's just piling those boxes. And I was just like, why don't you quit? Like, go find another job, you know? But I was every month.
Hey, there were always boxes. Like basically three types of people who worked there. There were the, I'm just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those people were lucky if they made it through training like on the first like 60 days.
Now, could you pick them out in training?
No. Cause honestly, some people like, I was a different trainer than my trainer, you know, and so we always had like a really good rapport going into bullpen in that first 30 days, and then they would start to dwindle off. But I didn't lose a lot of people in training. And it was always, now if someone came in and they were just dumb as a box of rocks, I could tell that immediately.
Yeah, this ain't gonna work.
You know, I'm just like, I'm gonna get them through training, but then they're just gonna like get lost in the bathroom someday and get fired for, you know, time off the computer or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, they had a word for it. I don't remember what it was, like inactivity or whatever.
Yeah, inactivity.
But no, I mean, coming into it, like some people would shock me and other people, you know, weren't so much of a shock.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, they last in 30, 60 days.
Right. One of the things that I really liked about training is I thought you were a very good trainer. You were very personal and made all the several things that we had to learn easy to understand. So I definitely appreciate that.
Who was your first name only? Who was your trainer?
Jessica.
Oh, no, that wasn't it.
Yeah, this is long before. So she was a trainer. Then she went to HR for like 60 seconds and then disappeared one day. I don't know where she went.
Huh. It was a guy that done mine. I can't remember what his name was now, but.
First names don't matter.
I don't remember what his name was, but he was the trainer for quite a few years. I wonder if you took it. Did you take over for him? No,
was
you
it
took.
Dan?
No.
Was it Andrew?
No.
Those were like the two trainers that were there before.
Did you go in training? Did they put you to the wolves?
Yeah, no. I wish I could remember what his name was, but he was the trainer for a while and then he came out and quit training and was a UCM for a while.
I was never meant to be a trainer. I never applied for a training position or anything of that nature. I ended up like, I was a senior, like, so I hit like coming into bullpen, I just smashed everything. I was only a rep for 90 days.
Good and Lord.
And then they promoted me to senior, which at the time I thought was a good thing. That was like that young, naive, stupid. Right.
Exactly.
Out. So they promoted me to senior, and then I was only doing that for 60 days, like 2 months. And then they were like, hey, we need someone to train new agents, and we haven't hired anyone for that role. Do you think you could fill in? You seem to be good at what you do. Can you fill in and kind of do these things? And I was like, well, I guess. And so that was what they called being task force, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so – I was in that role for another 60 days, and then they just finally made it official and hired me on it. And that was how I got my next promotion, too. And you never actually just get asked, like, they never just promote you there.
Right.
They task force you into a new position. Yeah.
I was on the phones for about 3 years or so, and then I was task forced into auditing, and I was there for a couple of years.
You were there for in processing for a while, yeah.
I was in auditing 2 years, I think, and then they'd done away with my auditing position, and then they moved me to processing.
Now I understand why Shane just passively hates you so much. Everyone hated everyone in auditing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I did. You could have done your job 100% correctly. You could have been correct about everything that you did, and I still hate you for it.
Yeah. Processors, too, though.
Oh,
because they'd send you stuff back, and you're like, oh.
Processors were the easiest scapegoats. Mm-hmm. You were like, oh, this was all correct. Those stupid people in processing.
Oh, I mean, I was one of those people that used to say that, too, and then I ended up being one of them stupid people in processing. Remember,
I mean, Eddie was, all the seniors, all of my peers, when I started, all of my seniors, all the UCMs.
I consider that name as the man whose name we do not mention.
Oh, no. So you'll love this story.
Oh,
so
good.
All of the seniors and all of my peers were pulled in 1 month to do like that scramble at the end of the month, uh-huh. right? Like all that, the processing. They jammed 15 of us in there and basically taught us how to process accounts in 15 minutes or less. You
mm-hmm. know, just, yeah,
here, I get it. Here's what you're doing.
They did that to me too when I was in auditing. Right?
So I remember, like, they had this report that came out after the fact that, like, highlighted how many mistakes you made in mm-hmm. processing. Yep. And my name was always super high on that list because I wasn't a processor.
Exactly.
Right? That wasn't what I did. Yeah. And I was, you know, given no training on how to do this. Well, Eddie comes in one day and he makes a show and he said, we're going to just start calling this report the Lucius Report. And I said, oh, okay, like that's really cool. Like I'm here helping you doing something,
right.
You know, helping you do your job because you're too stupid, sorry,
right.
to actually hire the people and actually get your team to do this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you know, that's cool. Call me out and you know, whatever. So he would, you know, pop in every now and again and just to check on us and see how we were doing. And he would bring up this report and, you know, bring up the Lucius report and do that over and over again. And I don't remember how it happened. I just remember, and it's one of their favorite stories, but essentially I ended up asking Eddie if he wanted me to slap him in the face.
Kim would have liked that.
Well, I would have paid good money for that.
Oh, you like the looks on everyone's faces were.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Shocked, happy, and they all kind of like slid down in their chairs. About like you saw everyone's head just visibly lower mm-hmm. about four yep. inches. But every one of them had this stupid grin on their face because they're like, if there is a person in this building who is going to slap the shit out of Eddie, it's going to be mm-hmm. Lucius.
Right.
And I was in the back of the room. Like I was in that back, like the training rooms. You remember how they had like three or four mm-hmm. rows? Yeah. I was in like the back row doing my thing. And he was at the front. And we had this conversation over the entire and he, it drove him nuts because despite how high he was up in the food chain, he had absolutely no authority mm-hmm. over me.
Oh,
and he could not stand, you know, this okay. man, he loved to just, you know,
if you want to get so, Kim going,
he's going to get Kim going on, here. Just hold second. On.
Let me just okay. say the one word that will get Kim going. The caveat to that is every time Kim will want to strangle me.
Every time he says that word, I'm like PTSD. You know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. when I started in auditing, I hadn't been there. Number one, they put me in auditing over a brand new program that I had never even done on the floor. So I had no clue what I was doing. So I wasn't doing great at the beginning. And
you didn't do great.
Just
in the
a
end.
Few months. Shut up. And just a few months after I started that.
I kicked my husband out. And so I was going through a divorce. I had a lot of emotions. And I was...
Oh, she remembered the word. This is what we call
it. I know, right? And so I was not able to do a whole lot. So Eddie and I started out on the wrong foot to begin with. Okay. So he was not a nice man to anybody.
I don't know that that man had a right.
No, I don't think so.
It was just the wrong
fast forward multiple years. Amber passes away. Mm-hmm. I was in processing and I was off work for 2.5 months. And I would go in now and then again. Somebody would drive me there because I did not drive for a while afterwards. Mm-hmm. I was not able to drive. And somebody would drive me there. I would go in and check on him, you know, everything okay. I was on FLMA, but I just wanted to make sure everything was all right. And I would say to him, Eddie, I can't do the night shift anymore. Amber watched Emily. Emily was 10. Mm. I have nobody to watch Emily. Okay, don't worry about it. We got plenty of people here. They'll work night shift every time I was in there. And I went in 3 or 4 times within 2.5 months. Okay. The day I come back, the next day, I can't remember what happened the first day, but I think it was the second day. And I went to Val and I said, Eddie told me that I didn't need to worry about this because the next day should have been my noon to nine shift. I said, Eddie told me I didn't have to worry about this. I want to make sure. Because I don't want to come in here at 8 o'clock. I don't want to come in here and say, and then somebody's going to say, oh, you're not supposed to be here until noon. You know, so I just want to make sure everything's kosher. And she's like, give me a minute. Let me go talk to him. She comes back and she says, I'm sorry. You have to work nights. I had one day to figure out what I was doing with my kid at night while I worked to noon to nine. He screwed me so bad. And I swear, if I ever see him again, I might just walk up and punch him in the face.
You don't go for it.
Yeah.
And just
take a picture.
And when I was recently, as I was looking for a new...
Have you ever been arrested?
No, but I would definitely go to jail for that.
The first one's pretty much... Yeah, the first one's free.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, call...
I'll be and so I know where he works now.
Leave him in there for a day.
Yeah,
I mean...
So when I was looking for a job, you know, to help with everything... I knew where he was working, and a friend of mine said, here, you know, let me try to get you in where I'm working. And I'm like, oh, no. Eddie,
his last name,
works in that building. I will never, ever be in another building with that man. Oh. Never.
Man, there's so many females that I know would say the exact same about him.
It took us a long time. We called HR on him so much.
He got fired,
he finally did. And we all heard.
I have never seen like the parade of people quite like that.
I wasn't over there, so I had no idea who he was. But I do remember when he got fired, only because I was getting ready to move over there. And I think that the person who filled his position was my UCM at that time.
So
I was like, hey, you should apply for that job, you know. So that's when she took it. Then I ended up going over there the following month.
No love lost between Eddie and I. Which I wasn't his favorite person anyway, because I wasn't one of those people that did big numbers. You know, I wasn't one of those people. And as long as you could do that, you were a good friend of Betty Frank. And I was not that person. So he never liked me anyway. So there we go.
We'll talk about one more thing and then we'll get into your dungeon here. But I want to know, where were you in the building? And did you ever hear the story of what accidentally happened to me when I was on the floor? Okay. I'm guessing
The puzzled look means something's tingling in the back of my head, but yeah, refresh my memory.
Somewhere in that brain back there is okay. So I was working
this
on the floor.
This is my favorite story.
A very good friend of mine, Allison. She's married now to another guy. But anyway, so to some man.
I was going to say, were you married to her or what?
After this incident, she didn't want anything to do with me. I don't know why. But anyway, she was thin, fit, and worked out a lot. and bought food from all the health stores, you know. Well, one day we both were working a long shift, like a double shift or whatever. Uh-huh. It was on a Friday. Patty was the UCM. She was so sweet.
I love Patty.
Patty.
I love Patty.
Patty Mayonnaise. That's what I always call her, Patty Mayonnaise. But anyway, so I loved her. She was so sweet. So Allison was like, hey, we were going to skip lunch that day because we're working long shift. We want to take a lunch. So she's like, hey, I have some Fiber One bars in my car that I went to Costco. So I don't know, one of the long stores. Do you want some? I have too many. And I was like, I'd love some. Now, I'd only ever had like one, maybe two in my life. But what I knew is that they were delicious. Absolutely delicious. So
must be talking about a different Fiber One bar.
You must be doing the generic. These name brand ones, these name brand ones were delicious. And
fiber,
I also
Fiber Two bars,
right? Back then they were good. But anyway, so I remember somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that they were good for you. And Lucius, this is a surprise to you, and it's probably a surprise to a lot of our listeners who haven't heard this story. I'm not huge into health knowledge.
No.
I know the basics. You know, I know you eat less calories, you burn more, you lose weight typically.
Yeah, it's kind of
something. Yeah. Vitamin C is good for you.
You know, in and out kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and I thought fiber. Everyone says have to get your fiber. My grandma would always take extra fiber. It's good for you.
It's because old people can't poop.
But I didn't know that. I didn't know what fiber was good for. So Allison comes in and she gave me this big Costco box of Fiber One bars. Maybe 15 in the box.
You just look like a guy who needs to poop more.
Obviously. Obviously. And so Allison gives me this box and I sit back down and start doing work again. And I was on phone calls, you know, at that time. I had my little headset on. And instead of eating that day, I munched on those Fiber One bars.
Oh, yeah, like popcorn.
Yeah, just kept eating them in between phone calls. They're so convenient, good. They're little chocolate ones. 13, 14 in.
Oh.
I'm 13, 14 deep into this.
Why?
And I also have to tell you, for the time frame period that you would be knowing the story.
This is called foreshadowing.
This was when they were redoing some of the bathrooms because they had just added on that back part. And they were redoing the front bathroom. So the only bathroom open at that time was the far one by where processing would end up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there enjoying these delicious, good-for-you bars. I'm on the phone with this older lady. We're having a good time. It's ending well. All of a sudden, I get this feeling in my stomach. And it goes... And I thought, I've never felt this before. What? That's weird. Maybe I'm eating too much healthy bars. You know? And I'm talking to this lady, and all of a sudden, not only is my stomach doing this, it's just turn. I also am getting the cold sweats. And I had never felt the cold sweats before. And I thought, maybe I'm coming down with something. You know, maybe I'm just getting a little sick, and tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll have the flu. I don't know. I'm again talking to this lady.
I've never felt this feeling.
I've never felt this feeling. No. And I know I'm burning calories, something, you know, it's just burning calories. Oh, never felt it before.
This is what it likes to exercise. This must be why.
So convenient.
Why do people do this?
So convenient. Well, all of a sudden, it arrived.
The moment.
The boat was at the harbor. And I thought, I gotta go. I have to go. And without even saying anything to this nice lady on the phone.
Just throw your headset.
I threw my headset down and I waddled to the closest bathroom. Oh, yeah. Waddled to that bathroom. And as I approached, I saw this yellow tape. And I thought, okay, I can risk it and go in and see what the situation is and see if I can find a sink or something. You know, I mean, it's coming.
I love your options.
It's
here.
Coming.
Yeah.
It's a coming.
Between is shit myself on the call floor.
Or find a sink.
Or find a broken bathroom.
Hey, when you're suffering, as I was, it was down to the moment.
I feel like everyone can empathize with this situation.
At some point. At least, yeah. So I thought second closest bathroom by the break room. I'll go there. I waddled as quickly as my butt cheeks could allow me when they were perked, you know?
It was like Marvin the Martian in an angle.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I mean, I'm sweating. My shirt was drenched. I mean, I've never felt that before in my life.
Listen, I feel you. I've been there, man. Yeah. It always catches me on the road.
The road. You're 30 miles from the next rest station. Yeah, the food. Yeah.
So anyway. Like, if I get pulled over right now, it's going to be a scene.
There's a problem, officer. But anyway, so I get to the second bathroom, and I think, and you have to also keep in mind that we have this natural instinct that when you really gotta go, the closer you get to the bathroom, mm-hmm. it's almost like your muscles start loosening up because it's knowing that you're almost
you
there.
You gotta go. The closer you get, the more you gotta go.
Yeah, and it's about to let loose. I get there, turn the corner, get ready to run into that bathroom. Yellow tape. Oh. Yeah, yellow tape. And I thought, there's only one more bathroom that's building, and it's on the other side of this building, but I have no choice. So I start waddling that way. And I can't tell you how many gods I prayed to that day. Anyone that I had ever heard of.
It's me. I know. We've never spoken before, but I need a favor now.
Buddha, if you're there and you're listening, I did a bad thing and I need help. I mean, just every god. So I get to this bathroom. There was one person in that bathroom. And I thought, oh, good. Perfect. And I walked in. And as soon as I walked in, they just built that bathroom. And it was before they had remodeled. They were in the middle of remodeling the other ones. And I don't know if you remember this. But when they put in those new bathrooms, just as you walked in, there was that big new sink. And it was like a trough. And the only thing I could ever think of is I had seen movies before where that was the toilet. And I thought, I know dang well. I'm not working for a place that's going to make me sit on a trough. But as I approached it, because I mean, if I had to go, I was going to do, you know, go my business. And it was like Roman style, because I thought it's going to be all open, but whatever, we'll be friendly. But as I approached, I noticed that there was a small hallway with little toilets in it. And I thought, oh God, one of those gods was listening to my prayer.
Oh my.
I approached and sat down. The Kraken was released that evening. The Kraken. And I remember the guy in the far stall.
I'm just imagining the horn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Kraken horn.
Yeah.
Well, and you remember this, but if you wanted to take a break, but you didn't have any more break time, you'd go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And text whoever back. You know, this is what you had to do. And this person, I knew dang well that's why he was doing. Because as soon as this all started happening, all these noises and groaning that I was experiencing, he goes, oh my God. And he got up and walked out. And I thought, I know he wasn't over there doing number two. And I can't tell you the noises my body made in that moment, but it was bad. It was so bad. And so I was drenched.
I just imagine
I felt used.
The cartoon version of this is playing in my head. Oh, yeah. And you just look like a slug with a water trail behind you from and all the water.
As we talked about, everyone in that building was nosy as hell. And everyone watched you. Mm-hmm. And so everyone was watching me going from bathroom to bathroom, waddling, doing all the things. I'm sure people try to say hi to me. And I'm focused, hyper-focused on this.
Bye, Felicia.
Man on a mission. I get my business done, and I thought, oh, God. Okay, well, I'm glad that's over, whatever has happened. So I walk out there, and I mean, I was bad shape. I go back out to my seat, and as soon as I passed Patty, dear Patty, she looked at me. She said, Shane, do you need to go to the hospital? And I was like, no, I just don't feel very good. And she goes, okay. And I sit down. And dear Allison, little old healthy Allison, who gave me the poison, as women as women normally do.
So hey, now.
She looks over at me and she's like, Shane, are you going to be okay? I heard all the noises. Don't
talk to me, devil woman.
I know. I know.
You a witch?
What kind of brews are you brewing? And she goes, and I was like, I don't know. I feel like I have food poisoning or something. I feel like I've seen movies about this. You know, I've never experienced this. And she was so nice. She goes, well, Shane, what have you eaten today? And I said,
I don't know.
Well, Alice and I've only ate those bars you gave me. And she looked at me puzzled. What bars? And I was like, those fiber bars you gave me. And she goes, that's all you've eaten? And I was like, yeah. She goes, well, how many did you eat? And I was
just
like,
a box.
I was like, 12, 13. And I just remember the look on her face of fear. I mean, and now I know what that look is. It's you could die, and I might be an accomplice.
I think the look was murder. Your fight is only beginning.
It was.
Yeah.
If you think I'm barking, you are mistaken. So I had to evacuate several times, a couple more times, and it was bad. And at some point in time, I evidently looked deceased. And Patty, sweet, dear old Patty, comes up to me and she bends down. She goes, Shane, why don't you go home? You look like you need to go home or to
just,
the hospital.
Or just stay in the bathroom.
Yeah, well, so anyway, I was like, that's probably a good idea, Patty. I don't live far from here. I'll go home. Thank God, all the guides, I made it home because it was a worry, you know, because it was bad. I get into my apartment. And I have never had that experience before where you have gone to the bathroom so much that you can no longer wipe. You have to shower to clean yourself. I mean, it was bad. And not only was it that bad, but I couldn't sit down.
You just sanded it off.
And it was bad. So I go back out to my floor and I lay flat on my stomach because I can't sit. I can't sit anymore. And I thought, this is how I go. Food poisoning, whatever
happens. This
happened.
Is it.
Yeah.
It's been nice getting to know all the gods.
I sent two text messages out. One was to a very good friend named Kevin. And I knew that Kevin was a very good friend because I texted him from that floor on my stomach. And I said, Kevin, I need you to grab something for me. And I don't want any questions.
There's a box under my bed. When I go,
take it and burn it. Anyway, so he goes, okay, whatever you need. And I said, will you go to CVS and get me some hemorrhoid cream? Definitely. I will do that. I will be there. And dear Kevin, good friend. I wish I had good friends like this. Cam, go die. Kim would have taken a picture of our message and put it on Facebook. Probably. But anyway. So dear Kevin picked that bottle of God-given cream and left it in front of my door and just left. Never asked me a question. Nothing. So
he's the reason that DoorDash exists.
Oh, yeah. CVS. This was before that. Definitely.
He could have really made some money off of that.
Yeah. So anyway, so I go out there and I get that. And the second text message I had sent was to, I think it was my mom. It was someone. I mean,
thank you for life.
At that point in time, you just think you're dying. And, you know, so I text my mom, and my mom had worked at a pharmacy at that point. And I said, Mom, this is what's happening. Is there a medication I can take? And so she's asking me these questions, and I told her just that
a box of chalk.
Right. I need it. I would have eaten it. If that's what she told me, I would have gotten a box of chalk and I would have eaten it. And my mom said, Shane, you need to call the number on the back of the box, the back of that Fiber One box. See if they can help you. See if there's something that they can give you an advice on what could offset that.
Wait. Fiber One bars have their own poison control number?
So it was just like a customer service number on the back of the box, at least at that time. Yeah. Okay. I mean, at this point in time, I'm sure. But anyway, so back then, it was just a number on the back of the box. I call it from the floor. Dear ma'am, and I got this lady from Georgia. She sounded like she was Georgian. Well, hello, sir.
Yeah, all the sweet honey babies.
Yeah, she's probably drinking her sweet tea. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway, I get this real nice woman. And so she's like, honey, how can I help you today? And I said, ma'am, I've eaten some Fiber One bars, and I'm having an adverse reaction.
Some.
And This sweet Georgia peach says, "Well, honey, how many bars have you eaten?" And I said, "Probably 12 or 13. And there's a long pause. And I knew from working.
She's checking the chart. There's a chart on her desk from 1 to 15, where 15 is instant death. And she's like, he's right.
Well, I knew. And you know this. When you work at a call center of any kind, if you suddenly have a long pause, it's because you've been muted and they're telling their neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew from that moment, Georgia Peach was. Hey, Susie.
Tears streaming down her
face. This man ate 12 or 13 bars. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. And then she unmuted me. And then she goes, "Over how many days, sir?" And I said, "Probably 4 or 5 hours." Another long pause.
This dumbass.
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh, my God. Because, you know, that's what we would have done.
Her supervisor's recording this call.
Oh, it was recorded. It was recorded. And she gets back on the phone and she goes, "Sir, I think you need to call poison control. Here's the number. Call them." I got off the phone and all I could think of was people showing up at my house in hazmat suits. I didn't know what poison control was. I didn't want to call them.
You didn't have the yuck stickers when you were a kid?
No. What was a yuck sticker?
They used to pass them out to kids in elementary school, and you would take them home and you'd put them on all the yucky things that you're not supposed to ingest, like a box of Fiber One bars or
it was a face with bleach.
Yeah. Little green face. Tongue sticking out.
I don't remember that.
They call them yuck stickers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cute. That's smart.
Yeah. That makes sense, though, because you're younger than I am, right?
35. How old are you?
Well, I'll be 40. So I think you actually slipped into the Gen Z while I'm an elder millennial. So I think they did away with the yuck stickers, and that's when these idiots started eating Tide Pods. Because there wasn't a sticker there
to tell them not to do it. That makes sense. So anyway, so I did not call that number because I was terrified. And I thought, you know, I would rather die and go out than for anyone to ever find out that hazmat people were at my house because I did something stupid. Because by that point in time, I realized that fiber stuff must not be very good for you in bulk. Because all these people were getting, all these people were getting freaked out, you know.
We've done convinced ourselves that the call that he made to the Fiber One people have to use the recording of that for training.
He is 100% in training.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a trainer, you know firsthand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%.
You're
now known as subject number one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm sure every person that goes through their program, all right, we're going to have to listen to this call. Tell us what you would do, how you would respond to it.
Yep.
And then there my voice is.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerable.
So now, you know how like you guys lived through this.
I'm a survivor.
Whenever every time there's like a legal battle that happened between the company and one of our consumers, there's a new script.
Or a new form or a new piece of paper.
There is the Shane form.
There is that.
Like, I bet you now on the Fiber One box, there's a like 1 to 2 line.
There's a huge label.
Right after.
That's I swear to label. You. Yeah. Within like 6 months. Well, first of all, two things. 6 months later, Fiber One bars start having a warning on the label. I don't think that's a coincidence. Second thing, someone at our facility in our building thought they would be funny. And guess what they start selling in the break room?
Oh, see, if
Fiber One bars, you know, Fiber One brownies.
You know how I don't know that I've heard this story before? Because I would have sent you a pallet.
I sent him pictures to this day from the grocery store.
Absolutely. I would come back in to work and people would think they're so funny.
They'd
leave me a little Fiber One brownie.
Oh, God.
I had taken pictures of him like not too awful long after we met. And in one of those pictures, I had a friend of mine put a Fiber One box.
It looks like I'm their spokesperson.
And it looks like he's their spokesman. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing ever.
I would have absolutely done that, yeah.
But still to this day, and this has been years ago, still to this day, if I see a label and it says extra fiber, I'm not eating it. My body will physically get ill if I look at it. I once bought in bulk pancake mix, bring it home, and it looked like it was like, you know, wheat. And it said, I mean, it didn't have it in the big box. I'd take each one of those individual boxes out. Those little effers put a big label on it, and it said, extra fiber. And I was like, why would you do that to me? I threw it away. Threw it in the trash where it belonged.
God love him.
I love how you're having the hangover, you know, the tequila reaction to fiber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, that night after and you're sweating whatever alcohol you ingested the night before.
Right.
And you just can't even look at it. You're like, that's your fiber reaction at this point.
So, Lucius, after you left.
Hell.
Is that when you became a realtor?
So, weirdly enough, I got moved. After I was a trainer, I went to the systems team. I got task forced and, you know, and then I ended up there. And it went in big spikes because at the time we were doing this huge conversion where everyone was leaving Artiva and going over the debt manager platform. Mm. And so my job was basically we would convert one area of the business at a time. And there was just a couple months of really intense work and then months of just lingering dullness while we waited for the next conversion. So in that time, I just started thinking to myself every single day how much I wanted to die.
I did that too.
And I was like this. I was like, I have to escape this. Like, I'm better than this. This is so mind-numbing. I hate this. And I think, honestly, like, when we were busy, I didn't mind it all that much. But when we were dead, like, I was literally – that's just – it's the epitome of the corporate ignorance, right?
Yeah.
I'm literally – surfing the internet for like trolling the internet for like games I can play at my desk with my boss directly behind me and the rest of my team in what we called the fishbowl.
Fishbowl.
And we were all just, I mean, we might as well just been folding origami cranes and we're getting paid for weeks at a time to do this. And it was so boring. And this was before you had work from home, right? Because like I could have just bought like a mouse wiggler on Amazon and enjoyed my life for 3 weeks while we waited for the next conversion.
Right.
What that time, I found some technology online for a Matterport camera. Like, you've seen these 3D scans.
Yeah.
Wow. Super cool technology. It's like, I was like, I bet you, because I've always been a pretty decent salesman. This is what made me good on the call floor, right? Like, collections is just sales, but the sale's already done and guaranteed. Now we just got to get paid for the product. It was really easy for me.
Right.
Well, I was like, I bet you I could take that technology and I could sell that to every realtor in town. So I kind
of. Have you ever thought about being a pimp? I mean, whatever.
You said you weren't going to bring it up.
Dang it, I forgot.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. Lucius.
Every time.
We can cut it out.
Anyway, back to my story. So I literally, somehow I convinced my, you know, 7-month pregnant wife.
God bless her.
That I could buy this camera with money we didn't have.
Yeah.
And I could go and sell this as a business. I could go and sell this door to door, you know, at realtors' offices. And I started thinking of creative uses for it.
Sure.
And at the time, they had a tracker. And there was literally, they would tell you how many of these cameras existed where you were at.
Oh, wow.
And there was none in the entire northern hemisphere of Indiana.
Uh-huh.
So the north half of Indiana did not have this camera. So I went to Old National Bank. I took out a loan for like $9,000 to buy the camera, an iPad to go with it, a tripod, and a camera bag, and I started hustling. And I convinced my wife that I could do this full time. I was like, listen, I know I don't have a whole lot of sales now. I have some, but if I could do this all day, every day, I bet you I could kill it.
Yeah.
And so we still consider this a moment of just pure insanity, but I convinced her that on the day my daughter was born was my last day at
hell.
That's a lot of changes at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she, I mean, I got her while she was on the epidural. And,
oh, perfect. And yeah. Get her to sign on.
Yeah.
Oh, that
makes sense. So like,
make her sign a contract.
She's on maternity leave and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to work now.
I'll go pitch and this just, camera.
Yeah. And so I did it. I went and I convinced all of these agents that I was this, like, you know, this cool technology. And I was making, you know, I was making $300 to $500 a day selling these things. And I realized during this, I actually had a contract with a local real estate office that every single house that they had, I would do this for. Mm. And I would basically just get a payment every time they closed a house. And I was like, well, that'll help me keep the lights on while I'm building this network. And as I'm doing this, I realized how horrible realtors are at their job.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, some of these people are, and I mean, okay, this is very tricky because there's an actual, there's actually something, you know, in being sworn into a realtor that you can't talk disparagingly about other realtors. Sure. But as long as I don't name them, I think we're okay.
Sure.
But it's just like any other job, right? Yeah. There are people who are good at their job and there are people who are bad at their job.
Yeah. When I went to buy my house, I had the first one I had, I thought, oh my God, if this is how all realtors are, I'm never going to buy a house. Second one was amazing.
Funny story. I mean, my realtor for my first house actually came to my closing bawling.
Oh my God.
In tears. And we're like, what's going on? Yeah. I mean, you communicate with this person for a month and a half. Right. Like you get to know them, right? And we're like, what happened? And she's like, we just found a bag of weed in my son's dresser.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, he wouldn't share? Like, why are we upset? Yeah. I'm like, it's
weed.
2010. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's right. Weed. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Like,
right. It's legal in some places.
Yeah. So like, she was just so distraught. And I'm just like, I don't care at all. Yeah. Like, why? Like, he's how old is it? Like, is he 11?
Right.
Like, why are we so upset?
Right.
And so I just thought that was like the most unprofessional thing ever. Yeah. Right. And so this, but this is like everyone I ran into, like I was still looking for the good realtor. So sure. I decided that I was going to take 2 weeks. I was going to drive down to Indianapolis every day and deal with that godforsaken hellhole that they call State Road I-69.
Yeah.
And I got my realtor's license.
Nice.
And I started selling real estate, and I've just never looked back.
So do you still use that camera system for your real estate?
No.
Company? Oh.
Turns out, I mean, so I came, it was really a weird time for it, right? Because right as that technology came out, the real estate entered the market that we've been in for the past 6 or 7 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This just insane, you know, your house is on the market for 17 seconds. It's got 32 offers, and one of them includes taking your dog. And like, that's still the best offer. Right. So you have to give them your dog.
Yeah.
And I wish that was a joke, but I've actually negotiated for a cat before.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So my
absolutely
friend,
crazy.
My podcast host for my crime podcast, she's in England, and she was selling one of her homes. And it's a very nice home, but she gets this offer in. And so, you know, she's going through the offer and she looks at it and she's like, they want our family photos that we have on the wall. They want all their artwork photos. I was like, how much they're going to pay? They take my family photos. I don't care.
We've told people before, like, you should take that stuff down
right.
beforehand. Because, I mean, number one, like everyone who ever comes, you know, if you're selling your house, anyone who ever comes in needs to be accompanied by an agent, right?
Right.
So it really cuts down on the creeps, but I don't know what someone's thinking when they're looking at you. And I mean, it's there's so much technology. Everyone's got a phone. If there's three people there, how am I supposed to keep an eye on all of them?
Right.
You know, I know someone's here taking pictures of your, like they're taking pictures of your underwear.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, someone. You know, someone's raiding the cupboards for Fiber One bars. Yeah. Someone's
Kim, is that why you go to she's a habitual house looker at her.
You're one of those.
Are she's you, going are through you the panty drawers
person?
No, I do realtor.com. I look online all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're just looking at realtor porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she has some visuals.
I haven't done it really since, I mean, I do occasionally, but when Emily was looking for a house, and of course, you were her realtor. I was on that thing several times.
She'd send me house after house. I'm like, Kim, you cannot afford a $500,000 house. Why are you sending this to me?
And there was a point. There was a point, 3 years ago or so, where I was talking about moving to Wabash. Mm-hmm. You know, because we were doing the podcast stuff up there, and so I had a realtor up there that I
and Emily was in Chicago at that time, so
I knew.
No, that was before.
Smell another realtor on you. I just knew it.
I'm telling you, she went and looked at so many houses too, so many. And I thought, I will believe it when I see it. If she ever buys a house,
he acts like I've went and seen 100. No, I seen maybe 7 or 8
at houses. Least, at
weirdly,
least.
In the market that we've been in, that's a ton of houses.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
But this is 3 years ago, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that was when it was even crazier.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, everything was so expensive that either one of two things, either I could afford it
and it was a piece of shit, mm-hmm. or it was way out of my, you know, out of my range. Or if I did find something that was halfway decent, it wasn't what I was looking for. I wanted a 3-bedroom home so that I could have a craft room. And I, you know, there was certain things that I wanted because I thought if I'm going to be moving out of, you know, my family area and out of the house that I've grown up with my whole life, I'm going to get what I want. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that just never happened.
She goes and looks at this one house. Piece of crap. Probably had bugs. I mean, horrible. She liked it.
She's like, I'm okay with bugs as yeah. long as they stay out of the craft
You know what
room.
She liked? That she, I mean, she was considering the house in the bathroom. They had this tub.
No, well, I didn't. No. No.
Look at her trying to back out.
No, there was no way in hell I was ever going to get that house. She was, that house was horrid. No.
She sends me, she's like, you know what I really liked about that house? When you went back to the back, you know those commercials of those old people who have problems taking showers and stuff?
Door,
yeah,
door
she had one. Had
that
one
was
of those.
The best thing about that house because nothing else was, the kitchen was okay, but everything yeah. else, he wouldn't have been able you know, to walk can, straight up. It like was, the ceilings cared. Was so low.
Like you yeah, would have cared. But this is how.
you got the doggy door for sure.
You know how many, I mean, I believe she's underestimated how many houses she looked at because so. I had lived there for several years at that point. It's not a big town. Been all over the place. I'd be with Kim. She would go a shortcut to somewhere. I'd never been in this neighborhood. Kim, where the hell are you going? Oh, I went and looked at that house a couple weeks ago, and I figured out that if I take this way, I can go back to the back way much quicker.
She's figuring out all the back
roads. All the back roads. She is.
Needless to say, I can get through Wabash and not have see, to,
that's,
you know.
All that's how you know she's from a different generation. Because, like, remember a time before GPS?
Atlases.
Yeah.
Never use those maps.
No. You just memorized every.
Yeah, you just figured
my
it out.
My wife to this day, I mean, we've lived in Muncie since 2000. She's been here since 2005 or 2006, somewhere in there. She still can't get to the damn grocery store without help. Like, I've joked numerous times. My wife is the ultimate passenger princess. Mm-hmm. I don't. If I'm sedated from an operation is the only time I have been in the passenger seat of my car if both of us are in the vehicle.
And then she's still asking you, where do I turn?
Oh, I got to punch it in. Like before the surgery, I got to like put it in her phone. Like, we're going home. You remember home?
He always uses GPS and I never. But see, I know where
that's the thing. Like I'm that elder millennial, right? So I was taught by Gen X, like, you know, this is north. Like you say north to my wife and she looks at me like I'm speaking ancient Greek.
Right.
Right.
She's like, what? What's a north?
I was trying to teach a lady at work the other day, north, south, east, and west, and she was also German,
but
too.
But see, we figured out, like, and for me, it's the pizza man syndrome. I used to deliver pizzas. Mm. So you know really well how the stoplights work. Like, you know, right turns, which one's going to get the light first, right. If there's four ways, or if there's, you know, stuff you need to avoid. Like, yeah, you learn that stuff. Mm-hmm. You start going all these back alleys and stuff.
I was raised by my grandparents, so on Sundays, we always took a Sunday drive.
That's why you like cruising the open houses. Now you just like, that's why it's realtor porn. Probably. Now you can do it on your phone.
Yeah.
Now, and she has to do it now because Pornhub is blocked here in Indiana.
I know. Like, but for my wife, honestly, it's more of a turn on. Zillow is more of
that's
a turn
true.
On.
That's than, true. And I she don't can spend like more time with you. That's nice. But okay. So. So
this episode's just going this
right.
all
Kim
over
has
the
lost
place.
Her job because of it. I mean, I'm sorry, Kim. Okay. So how did you get from realtor to a dungeon like this? Especially when Pornhub's blocked now.
I know. Well, let's see. I have
nothing
so much
else
more
to
free
do.
Time now.
It's true.
used to spend my time
hours.
Like looking at my own search history, right. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Now I've just got all this spare time. It's amazing what happens when you get blocked from the internet.
Right.
Now, I know we've been separated for a few years, mm-hmm. but if there's anything anyone in my immediate circle knows, it's that I'm super spontaneous and I just take on weird, random ass projects. I told my wife and I've told everyone this really, that my goal for 2025 is to not take on any new projects mm-hmm. because it started out like, I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to flip it. And then you know, then I would randomly end up, like, I'd come home, and this happened so often that I would come home, and the phrase that I would use is, baby, I did a thing.
We always know that that's not good.
And yeah, for most dudes, it's like, oh, I went and bought a tool. For me, it's no, I bought a house. Well, last year, this happened when I made a couple decisions really quickly. And I remember it happened over Thanksgiving. I'm in South Bend, where they're visiting her family. And I was looking at Zillow, and I noticed, I was like, this 4-square house, it's in downtown Muncie, this 4-square house went up for sale. And I'm like, you know what? It's been up for sale for a really long time in this really hot market. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put in a stupid offer on it. So I literally typed it up. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I literally typed this offer up and I sent it to the agent. And within an hour, I had a response. They accepted my offer.
That wasn't a red flag to you?
And I was like,
haunted, body in the basement.
Oh, no. Oh, it was far worse. Man, it's a whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this last year of my life, not this year, last year was one of the roughest years in living memory for me. So much happened. Oh, but you know, you just get up and go to work. You just get up and go do. I don't have it in me to stop. I get bored.
Right.
So around that same time, I decided that I was going to go to a tax sale. And I've never been to a tax sale before, and I wanted to just go and experience it. Well, it doesn't help that apparently I have auction-induced Tourette's, where I just throw my hand up.
Yeah.
You know, so I sat through this entire tax auction, and I had to literally sit on my hands. And I'm like, I can't be here because I'm seeing all these fantastic deals on these houses. I got a bank account full of cash. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm registered as a bidder.
And your wife would be ready to go too.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I can't leave without bidding if I'm a bidder. Yeah. You know?
Be wrong. Be naughty. So
the way this happens is they go through the whole tax sale once, and then if no one, like anything that wasn't bid on, they do one more pass. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that there was a junkyard. It's Granville Auto. The junkyard's been here as long as I've been here. It's been around for decades before I got here, right? Yeah. Well, it's split into two parcels, and the south parcel was for sale. And I'm like, I'm kind of a car guy. I've been a car guy for a long time. So I'm like, I know I have nothing to do with the salvage business, but somehow this feels like a really good idea.
Good idea.
So I...
Famous last words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes through, throw my hand up. I'm the only one in the room. Bam, bought a junkyard.
Bought a junkyard.
Yeah.
But, now what am I going to do?
Pay for it. That's what you're going to do.
Can't wait to tell my wife.
1 hour. You have 1 hour to go to pay for the property that you bought, or it goes back on the block. Yeah, kind of crazy. Anyway, so I bought this house. I bought this junkyard. And then last but not least, for some reason, we have been eyeballing the building that we're sitting in. We've been eyeballing this thing for 6 years. It's been abandoned and just sitting here rotting into the ground for 6 years. Everyone knows it, right? Everyone knows the building, the stucco building. It used to be the barber shop, and you could literally see inside from the outside because it was falling apart. I have never been scared away from a construction project. Well, after I bought the junkyard and after I bought this other house, I was like, you know what? It seems like a really good time to get yourself into more debt. Let's buy this building. And we had honestly been eyeballing it for a long time. Finally came on the market at a reasonable price. I made a, you know, lowball offer. Yeah, a decent offer, we'll say, because the building was, crap. So now I tell people we didn't buy the actual building. We bought a parking lot that happened to have a building on it. So we've redone everything with this office, right? Well, I finally, like, I went through a whole, the junkyard is his own story, but basically I went through this whole process with this junkyard, and I ended up selling it back to the individual that lost it at tax sale. So through, I mean, that's the 2-minute version. The story is actually like 5 days long. So, and you know, made a bunch of money on that. So I'm like, okay, I hate wasted space. And I spent all of last year, me and pretty much one other guy, like, you know, we had some other people from the office that helped like with the demo process, but none of them really have any construction experience. And so it was pretty much me and one other guy spent a year of our life rebuilding this building. Everything you could possibly think of needed done in this building. I mean, you could literally see the outside not the window. Like my first act when I came to the building was I opened up one of the windows next to the fireplace and the wall fell off.
Oh, nice.
Like not the window, like the wall fell off. And I just went, oh shit, what have I done? So this basement, you know, we're in the dungeon, right? And when we actually bought the building, we came down here for the first time, and the room that we're currently sitting in had like wire spools, you know, those big wire, people use them as tables all the time for barns and whatnot. Those were sitting down here, and there were all these like fold up chairs sitting around it. And this fireplace that's over here didn't look nearly as good as it does now. Mm-hmm. And we found out that this used to be a speakeasy, like a legitimate speakeasy.
Really?
So when we, because that back door, people would come down here, they'd sneak into this room and they'd drink and play cards and kind of do their thing. And they just kind of left it that way, right? Wow. It was like, it had to just turn kind of into like a, like place to hide from the wife, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, all the local drunks would come down and you know, play illegal poker and drink. Well, it had clearly been abandoned a long time ago. It's been sitting empty for 6 years anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Prohibition was a few more than 6 years ago.
A little bit.
So as the process goes on, this building, I mean, this basement was disgusting. I mean, you're talking about every like pathogen known to man. My immune system is just pumped up because of this place. We found this, you know, creepy murder room that I told you guys about earlier.
It is very weird. It has a window in it.
Yeah. Well, it didn't. It was just a wall.
Oh.
The window was in there. The back. Yeah, now you can view the murders. Yeah, because we put a window in.
Did you put the lock on it, or was that lock already there?
No. You're misunderstand. There was no entry to that room. There was
no door.
There was a wall with stucco on it, so it looked like the outside wall.
Is it this little room over here?
The room that we've turned into the 3D room.
So it was just a walled off room.
It was just a walled off room, and that is weird. When we found it, we realized there were all those like gross tools, like sharp objects back there, like saws and hammers and like handheld like scythes for cutting long grass.
Now, have you ever seen scary movies? Because this,
you know, that question came up a lot during this time.
This reminds me of like hauntings where people have like blocked off evil spirits and then you come in and you're like, let's put a door.
No. You need
to take the stuff out.
You need to hear the story about our first walkthrough, and we'll get there. But so essentially, like, we just spent a lot of time redoing this building, right? Spent a year redoing it. And we had ambitions at one time about putting a speakeasy back in the basement.
Okay.
And the thing is, I'm not a big drinker. Mm-hmm. Like, I've just never been good at it, right? So I never spent a lot of time drinking. So a speakeasy didn't really speak to me.
Yeah. It was speaking hard.
Yeah,
I'm saying.
So I've only been playing D&D for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Dungeons and Dragons.
But I love it. I love the imagination. I just love the stupidity that you get into. I love the whole process of it. And I'm like, you know what? I've got this money from selling this stupid junkyard, and I've just got nothing to do right now. You know, real estate kind of goes in and out. It kind of ebbs and flows. Yeah. You know, you're either swamped or you're not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna turn the basement into a dungeon. I'm gonna make it look like a dungeon. I'm gonna make the most badass place you can go and play D&D. So
now, was your wife epiduraled at that time?
No,
I just don't know that would work out so well for.
I mean, is it like, what do you call it when you put drugs in their drinks?
Oh yeah,
You roofied them.
Yeah, I just roofied her, and then
Well, you'd have to.
That goes back to the whole, like, I do this shit so often that my wife has now just given up on trying to stop me.
Okay. She's desensitized.
Yes. 100%. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I'm like, so I just come home and I'm like, hey, baby, I did a thing. And she's like,
what are we into now?
Well, my wife is one of the state's best designers. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one knows who she is, but she is absolutely phenomenal at this stuff. I mean, just shockingly good at it.
Yeah.
And I can give her some cockamamie idea. Like, I'll send her 5 reference photos and I'll give her like the world's like worst drawing. Looks like my daughter did it with like
stick figures
holding the crayons upside down. And she will just give me this.
Yeah.
So I kind of just trust her at this point. She trusts me that the idea is going to work. Mm-hmm. So I just let her kind of have free roam. And I say, you know, give me a concept that works. And then we work together and then we created what you see here. And honestly, I started out with the idea of renting it out to others. And then it kind of went away where I was like, well, maybe I'm not going to, but when you build something this cool, like I really want to share it. I think it's just really neat. And there's so many people who play D&D that don't like, it was actually really funny when we launched this and we told other people that this is what we were doing. People started coming out of the woodwork saying that they play D&D. My wife would be like, I didn't know that they played D&D. It was so taboo. The way they were saying it was so taboo. Yeah. It was like, I didn't know he was gay.
Yeah. I play the D.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I didn't know he played D&D. Like, why is that shocking?
Right, right.
It's everyone's closeted. Anyone can do it. Yeah. Now it sounds like a gateway drug.
Right, it is. Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
Everyone's doing it. You should do it too. Come to the basement.
Let's just play just the tip.
Yeah.
I hate wasted space. Mm-hmm. And this basement wasn't doing anything. You know, I always said, I don't want my real estate office to be like everyone else's. Mm-hmm. I don't want a building filled with empty desks where it's like, oh, we have 30 agents and here's all of their empty desks. Like, what is the point of having a building if that's what you're going to do? So I turned my top floor into a photography studio. We've got a podcast studio going in upstairs. Nice. We've got a conference room and a lobby and we rent an office out. And that's what I wanted to do. But now I've got this stupid empty basement. And it's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it's got a door to the outside. Convenient. Like it's perfect.
And not
like,
a lot of stairs.
I could traffic humans through here.
You do a lot.
Yeah. I could like make Chinese food or, whatever. I could do whatever I want down here. Yeah. And so we started the dungeon and we just kind of worked through the water issues and the mold and all the garbage and everything else. And now we have this. I think it's a pretty damn cool
space.
It
is very cool.
It is
very It's very cool. unexpected when you descend
into the basement. There's something about inviting a complete stranger who's come to the building for a first time to the basement.
Yeah. You want to come see my basement?
That would be a red flag to me.
Hula, which is a managed IT company, they rent from us upstairs. Oh. And he had someone, an intern, like this college girl, right? I'm the only one here. I'm a 40-year-old, 6'2", 240-pound dude, and I'm the only one here. And this tiny, 110-pound, redhead college girl walks in the front door, and I just greet her because I'm a normal human with a business. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, what can I do? How can I help you? And she says, well, I'm supposed to meet Brad here. Brad, he's not here. Let me call him and find out where he's at. And I'm keeping my distance because so many things can go wrong with that story.
Right.
And so I call him. He's caught by a train. He'll be there in 5 minutes. I said, take a seat in the lobby. I'll be downstairs. If you need anything in the meantime, just holler. I come back. I'm just cleaning or something. Okay. No. I got some new speakers. I was setting those up. Brad shows up. They start talking. They do their thing. Well, he comes traipsing down the stairs. And he's like, I can't believe you didn't invite her to see the dungeon. And I said, Brad, there's just something weird. about inviting the young college girl down to the basement or to my dungeon within the first 15 seconds of meeting her.
You want to come see my D&D in the basement? Yeah,
like you start breathing heavy. Yeah. You want to see the dungeon?
You want to see my D&D?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she comes down and she's just befuddled. I mean, she's like, holy crap. Same thing you said. It's so, you get caught off guard.
Yeah. If you're not into D&D. It's really cool.
The woodwork is beautiful.
The masonry,
yeah. I've sat here, and people are probably in the last episode, because I keep looking at the ceiling, because it looks like plaster that's falling in. But it's not.
We wanted it to look, I told my wife, I said, the look we're going for is we're looking for a mix between a dungeon where you would torture people and the world's classiest tavern. Back in days where the walls were still made out of mud and wood.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, I can run with that. Yeah, that's just how great she is. My wife actually hung every single stone see down here. This is how crazy my wife is. She literally hung stone until her fingers bled.
Oh my gosh.
Nobody, not a single person on this planet told her that there was a deadline to have this done.
Right.
And she still slaved away at this thing like a dog every day until she's like, she literally came home and she's like, I think my fingers are bleeding. And I was like, your fingers are bleeding. What are you doing? Right. And she's like, well, I've been using my hands to put the mortar on the wall. I was like, they make tools for that. And she goes, yeah, but it doesn't give it the look that I want.
The words of a true artist.
She's a crazy person.
But I think that door is probably one of the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It is recessed.
Handmade.
It is crazy.
Handmade door.
You done a video, didn't you?
No, not yet.
Oh, I thought you did.
I have a bunch of pictures. I had a short video where I sat here, but I am going to do like a full-blown video for the place.
Well, we need a copy.
Yeah.
Wherever you post it. Because we want to share it with people who will share it. Yeah. So I'm sure that you don't just have this place for your usage. Maybe.
I wanted it. Originally, it was meant for just me. But no. Now we are renting this out to the public. Anyone can rent the venue for a day. It's $50 a day.
Oh, that's not bad.
I mean,
it's super cheap.
So yeah, I'm probably going to regret that decision eventually. But the reality is I wanted it to be accessible to, like, I wanted to be accessible to the weekly group, right? Yeah,
right?
And when there's five or six people playing in a campaign, you know, they all throw in 10 bucks and, you know, so what? 10 bucks is insignificant. You're going to spend more on that on snacks than you are coming to the dungeon. And we're renting it out.
Where do people go to rent this? Do they have to go to your website?
So there's a green door in the back of an alley. You have to knock through.
No wonder that's how Kimry found you.
Yeah.
She saw that right next
to the bathroom stall. So we're at d20dungeon.net, or you can find us on Facebook and, you know, facebook.com/d20dungeon. But you book on the website, the front page, there's a calendar there. Click on it. There's some terms and conditions. You pick your date and you pay for it. And you get a nice email the day of your, it's just like an Airbnb. It's an Airbnb.
There you go.
You know, you get a little code to get in the back door, just like you guys did today. Hopefully someone doesn't lock the handle.
Only it didn't work.
Well, I have some contractors working on another project and they locked the wrong lock.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a suggestion for you.
Okay.
Another URL that you could get that forwards to yours. Airbnb. I like that. Because
I'm so afraid of getting sued.
Air. I mean, you changed it. I think you'd be fine.
I mean,
I think you would get accidental traffic. I think that's why it's brilliant.
I think so too.
Yeah. I think people would think that it's a dirty little thing.
And people, like, we still have the .net stigma from, like, 40 years ago.
Right.
You know, why'd you get .net? Well, because .com was taken.
Right.
And by nobody. Mm-hmm. Get this. I tried to buy that URL. You know how much money they wanted for it?
Probably tens of thousands of dollars.
I didn't even find out because the broker, the web domain broker, wanted $600 just to get started on finding out how much they wanted.
Oh, yeah, there are people and businesses who just buy up URLs. Just to sell them for...
I'm well aware of that. I never thought the Dungeons & Dragons was going to be the spot to make your money on the domain name.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So we ended up with a .net. Ended up with like 15 different domains that all redirect there. So, but AirD&D, I didn't want to promote that. I was afraid of getting sued.
I got you.
They're slightly bigger than us right now.
Just for now.
For now. Well, give me a week.
When you buy the company, then you can just do what you want.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty much.
Well,
it is really.
Thanks for inviting us to record both of our episodes down here. And I enjoyed reconnecting with you and talking to you and glad that we could all share stories.
I tolerated it. It's okay.
Are we going to do an unmasked with him also?
We'll do that with Josh.
We'll do that with Josh.
That way he can open his birthday presents.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Oh, my.
All right.
Sounds like a trap.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys later. And thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on Unmasked. Bye.
Strange Familiars is a weekly podcast which explores the weird corners of the world. From Bigfoot and other cryptids to ghosts, UFOs, folklore, and forgotten history. We don't just talk to authors and researchers. We talk to actual witnesses of the paranormal.
As he came in, the power flickered off again. I don't think I had ever been as scared of anything. It flickered back on and he was right beside me. And he got really close to my face and he said, "Stay away from things you don't understand."
We don't just talk about haunted places and spooky forests. We go there and we take the listeners with us.
What? Did you see that? You saw that, right?
Did you see something move there?
Yeah. A flash. In the dark.
Yeah.
Find Strange Familiars wherever you listen to podcasts or at strangefamiliars.com.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.